are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed on another yet spectacular hot summer day.
Spectacular, yes. Yeah. Hot. Hot like surface of the sun hot. Well, but unpleasantly
really?
So.
You don't like it then, huh?
I don't. Who would like it this
I like
what
it.
Do,
huh?
What do you do
like
in
it.
Your free time, Michael, if you find this pleasurable? Do you just put on a wetsuit and lay on the hood of a car in West Hollywood and smoke cigarettes?
I beg
what
your
exactly
pardon.
Is it?
What the hell was that?
I'm a little off-put at how readily that image came
I just
to me.
You know, it's the dog days of summer.
It's
the
hot.
Last few days.
It's farkin' hot, as
and,
they say.
And you can lay by your pool. You
yes.
don't need a wetsuit.
No. So
and a car.
Yeah.
And you don't need
I don't
it.
Know why, I don't know why.
West
that,
Hollywood.
Yes, no. I don't know why. Just someone told that to me. Someone said that to me once. I stole it.
I think
they
it's
said,
very funny.
I'm laying on the hood of. I said, is it hot enough for you? And he said, almost, but I'm going to put on a wetsuit and lay on the hood of a car in West Hollywood and drink espresso and smoke cigarettes. And I personally couldn't think of anything more unpleasant.
He would have had a crowd around him
yes,
in
he would have.
5 minutes, right?
He would have.
Oh, my goodness.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Some live applause
yeah,
for them.
It's true.
Some match.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Oh,
sometimes they don't listen.
But
a story of discovery, acceptance, and love. Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
One of the pieces of promotional material I saw yeah. about the show we're talking about today called it a pop opera,
mm-hmm.
and the other called it a rock musical. What would you say? I want to ask our two guests before we introduce them. Well, how would you refer to it?
Well, before we reveal them, just nod your head. A rock musical?
Hands up. Hands
opera.
Up. Would you say
a little
rock,
bit
of both?
A rock musical pop opera?
There you go.
There you
okay.
go. He's playing it safe.
Yeah.
Great. Just read what's on the cards. That's great. Okay.
The pop opera rock musical Bear centers on the clandestine relationship between two roommates, charismatic golden boy Jason and sensitive soulful Peter. As the pair navigates adolescence, we see the consequences of secrecy unravel through their eyes and those around them. Nadia, Jason's sardonic twin sister, a hard-edged outsider, the attention-prone Ivy, who shamelessly pursues her obsession with Jason, and forlorn Matt, whose affections for Ivy are repeatedly rebuffed.
13 years after its world premiere, Glory Struck Productions will present the Los Angeles return of the Damon Intrabartolo John. Damon Intrabartolo.
You're drunk, Sterling. You're
no,
drunk
you
again.
It's too hot out there for
it's
him.
Hot. There's a hyphen between Mr. Intrabartolo's last name and
right.
John's Hartnier.
First name. Yeah.
Right.
You see, so it looks like a run-on
name.
The
oh, okay.
way that
very
it appears well. In the script.
I'm sure, yeah.
But in all due respect.
Who knew a hyphen would throw you?
It did today. It's too hot outside, I'm telling you. Okay. So, yes, those kind gentlemen wrote the pop rock musical opera Bear, reviving the material for the first time in Los Angeles since his debut at the Hudson Theater in 2000. In studio today are the two of the stars from that acclaimed production, set to open on September 6th. Please welcome Lindsay Heather Pierce and Jonah Platt.
Hello, how are you?
Can we walk in slow motion?
Yes, yes.
Right.
It was nice of you to bring your own fan like that.
You
had to get the whole effect. It really works well for
you. This is radio. You can't see how great she looks.
By the way, before we move on.
They're both very attractive people.
They are very attractive. Look at these eyes on Lindsay.
Yes.
Look at those eyes. Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Yeah.
What? Oh, wait.
What'd you say?
You can almost hear them.
You can almost hear them?
That's how much they pop.
Ah, okay.
Ah, I was going to say swim.
I wasn't paying attention.
Swimming.
I'm still thrown by the Intrabartolo John.
See, but you said it
Intrabartolo John is an Italian restroom, isn't it? Intrabartolo John? Anyone?
Only if
you're
in Italy at the time.
Is this thing on?
There you go. Listen, okay. By the way, Max Adler wrote me a note, and he the question you asked last week about what you just played for the intro there with the guitar?
Yes.
He said it's definitely The Who, and he named the song, and I can't remember it, but...
It's Won't Get Fooled Again.
That's it.
That's it, yeah. Yes. We, yeah. And people say, oh, the CSI theme. It's like, no, I'll smack you.
Yeah, there you go.
I love Mac.
Anyway, pleasure to have both of you here.
Thank you for having me. It is great to be here.
And before we chat with you about Bear, Michael, how was your week before we get
you
to
know,
our guests
it's
here?
Good. We've got a big, big, big show coming up at the Supper Club. I have a Supper Club called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood in the NoHo Arts District. And this week, Critcherland Records, you know, the wonderful Bruce Kimmel company that goes in and rescues Broadway shows that don't get a cast album because he believes that they should have one, and or does recordings that are thematic to particular composers. Mm-hmm. And so it's their third anniversary of, you know, they bring these records to life at my supper club.
Right.
Once a month. I've seen one of them.
Yeah,
and you're coming
this
Sunday.
I'll be there Sunday.
And it's going to be a spectacular show, and the sales on it went boom through the roof, so we've had to add a second show earlier in the day.
Right, the matinee.
Yeah, so we do
now
the
that's
matinee.
Not, I mean, you always sell out there, but the addition of a matinee is unusual.
It is unusual because the demand was so huge on the show. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we're doing that. That's so great. Two sold-out shows this week.
If either of you know where the famous El Portal is on Lancashire Boulevard.
I did a show in the El Portal.
Did you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
I love that place.
I love that place, yeah. Both spaces in there.
Well, Jonah appeared for 6 weeks in the Federal in LA's Next Great Stage Show.
Oh, that's right.
That's correct.
Oh, that's right. This last one was this last one the first one there or the second one there after Vitello's?
The first one.
The first one there.
Yeah.
The as much as I loved Vitello's where Michael was before, I just love the upstairs at the Federal. It's a great room.
And the Federal is just a great
It is,
place.
Isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, great food, great people. Like there's always live music in the back. It's just awesome.
And you know, it manages to maintain this loft-like New York industrial loft space, but there's still an intimacy for the performers.
And you kind of feel like you're back in the Broadway district.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so artsy around there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the oldest building in the San Fernando Valley, built in 1926.
That.
It's the reason that Lancashire Boulevard is there.
Wow.
And then the El Portal was built later the same year. Lots of ghosts walk that wonderful street.
I was going to do a show at the Federal, but then I had a conflict.
What was that?
Yeah, I can't sing or dance.
Oh,
anyway. Oh, stop it. My sides. Killing me. Anyway, sorry. I didn't interrupt you.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't have. I wish I had a weekly recollection, but I don't.
Well, I was going to say.
I don't. Well, no, I shouldn't say. I finished the film. The film is done.
Yes.
I wrote a short film called The Beating about bullying.
Wow.
And we just finished it, and we're actually going to have a screening at Upstairs at the Federal.
Yes, you are.
Screening a private
we're gonna be hosting that for
the cast and crew, and you know, so many people contributed their efforts to this thing. It's kind of funny that we just say, "Oh, just cast and crew." That's well, just cast and crew, and it's over 100 people.
That's
so it's
fantastic.
Really encouraging.
Good for you.
And it's dark, but hopefully has a great message.
Absolutely.
So let's get to our lovely guests here, and we will start with Lindsay. Michael, would you give her the intro she is due?
I will. In early 2011, our first guest auditioned for The Glee Project, a singing acting reality show where the winner would receive a 7-episode arc on the third season of Glee. She reached the show's finale and, along with fellow runner-up Alex Newell, appeared on a 2-episode arc on Glee. She adds to an extensive musical theater resume with Bear. Performances beginning September 6th at the Hayworth Theater. Please welcome the oh-so-pretty Lindsay Heather Pierce.
That's such a nice intro. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's a good thing your name isn't hyphenated, or it would have been 5 minutes
long. It would have been a train wreck. Lindsay hyphen Heather hyphen Pierce.
Oh, I'm so Lindsay Heatherapist.
Heatherapist.
How are you, Lindsay? Pleasure to meet you.
I'm grand.
Pleasure to meet you.
Grand.
Grand
is a nice
word.
I'm grand. My heart is pounding. I power walked to the studio in the summer heat. It was great.
Yeah. It's so good to have you.
You know what I want to know right off the bat, because I think that the whole Glee Project thing is fantastic, and and what a wonderful opportunity is for someone, you know, to find you.
Yes.
And the other, they've found Alex. I've interviewed a few times, and he's quite
wonderful.
An amazing young man. Yeah,
love
he
him.
Really is, and a great role model for people like him. And I think he's just awesome. So, how was that experience? How did that come about for you?
It was kind of a fluke. I had. In my hometown, they just started this talent competition called Valley's Got Talent, and I had been denied to a few schools to go to their musical theater program, and sorry, you're signaling. Am I good here?
Yeah, they're great.
Okay.
Right.
Was so good.
I was just, I'm just waving. So
no, lighten up, Sterling.
But I was at home at my junior college for another year waiting to transfer to a school. And so I did this talent competition just for the hell of it. And I won. And the man, Robert Ulrich, who cast Glee, right, is from Modesto. And
he's a lovely man, isn't he?
He's fantastic. Yeah. He's like my surrogate dad here. Yeah. He's incredible. And he saw me and was one of the judges because he's a hometown hero. And he emailed me and was kind of like, well, I can't tell you to audition, but if you want to, here's all the information. And so I went and I just got done with Macbeth in Modesto, and then I did Cinderella, and then I had to drive immediately after the show closed because the next day I had the Glee Project audition on the last day in Robert's office. And I was there and I had laryngitis and it was really terrible. And he was like, are you sick? Is that, that was good, but are you sick? And I was like,
are you sick or are you no. Tom Waits?
Yeah,
which is
like,
it?
Yeah, and I was like, you know, and in an audition, you know, they're like, don't say that you're sick. I was like, no, I'm just, you know, I'm a little tired. And he was like, yeah, you're sick. And I thought, you know, I walked in, he was so nice to me and it was such a great audition. But I, you know, it was when you're not at your best and you walk out and you're like, yeah, that was great. It's like good for me for finally doing something in LA because I was never going to be a film TV actor. And then sure enough, went through all of the stuff and got the call that I'd gotten into the show. And it was amazing. It was 2.5 months of living secluded in a private area of Los Angeles filming a great show. We had no idea what we were doing. I was 19 at the time, and we were all like really young, just been plucked from our hometowns and dropped together in this space and learned to love each other and love what we were doing.
I was just going to ask you that, if the experience was there a sense of community, like a summer camp type feel, or was it just, I mean, because you watch these shows on television, mm-hmm. and of course, because they have to generate television, they have to make it provocative. It story, yeah. That they have to, many of the times, you know, I've never seen the show, but they, you know, focus on the negative or things like that.
Or they play stuff out to be longer or worse than they
than are. It actually
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was, yeah. Well, in the terms of filming, the first 2 weeks we were very excited and everyone was trying to get to know each other and but it was also very high stress because nobody knew how it worked, like what it took to get eliminated, and we didn't, you know, it was very stressful and
didn't know what you were fighting for.
Yeah,
right,
nobody
right.
nobody knew. We had no idea. Whereas like kind of the second season, they kind of got to come in and be like, okay, so we know what the end product is. We know how to do this. We know it's not so much how to play the game, but we know what we need to do as actors and performers and singers to get to the end, you know, and we had no idea. We were just kind of going and doing our thing with a hope and a prayer that we were doing it right. And by like week 3 and 4, I think we finally kind of eased into it. We kind of, the homesickness kind of went away. The tension was still high, but never in a way that like caused people to jump at each other's throats. And
gotcha.
And even when it was just so like, I'm sorry, I just missed my mom. And we only get one 15-minute phone call to home once a week, you know? And so it's like, it was just very like, there was a high stress, but no one, we're all friends, you know, no one ever despised each other. It was a great time.
Sort of like a musical Mormon mission. You know, Mormon missionaries that they're only given isolated phone calls?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the musical equivalent
exactly.
of that.
Yeah, it was like that. And we were shut out from the outside. You know, you're not allowed to have, because it's a reality show.
You
and
can't reveal
no one,
it.
No, and no one can, and no one can have an upper hand on the other person. We didn't have internet. We didn't have our phones. No, we didn't have television, nothing. There were times when the bottom three would go off and film, you know, their time with Ryan and their Sing for Their Life auditions, you know, for him and the rest of the judges. We would be off at the camp, like, eating In-N-Out and, like, waiting and watching, like, the Never-Ending Story on the TV.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And
then,
yeah, we'd all sit in our little, like, game room.
That's
got to like,
be pretty surreal. You just got to feel
so
like you're
surreal.
On a different planet.
It was that, and my friend Hannah and I, Hannah McElwain was on the show with me, and she's my best friend, and she was talking about it with me the other day that it was like that seemed like reality and then this world seemed like a dream. We were like, this is what's real. So getting pizza at 2
yeah.
in the morning
yeah.
because we've been doing interviews for 6 hours. That's a normal
meal. That's your universe.
You know? And like,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was just so strange to be in that world and not be used to it, but it was great.
So now, in regard to Bear, which has a Michael, what you're saying is a fairly provocative shots on the on the interweb, on the worldwide net.
Yeah.
What is your? Can you give us sort of a synopsis of it without giving too much away and where you
about
fit
Bear?
Into the?
But
the show.
Yeah. It's kind of a pop rock musical opera. That, should I put hyphens between them?
Yes, please don't.
But it takes place at a Catholic boarding school, co-ed Catholic boarding school, and it kind of just deals with teenagers and the real things that they face when you're kind of in a secluded place where you're trying to have your voice be heard, but also try to live within the lines of like the structure you've been taught to live your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And is it right for two men to be in love, you know, and is it okay to do drugs on the weekend? You know, and they there's like a scene where they steal the church's van to go to a rave, you know, and it's just these kids are trying to live their life because there's something that they don't feel like they're heard. So they try to like express everything in the heightened sense that teens feel things and express things. So it's kind of just like this really
that sense
honest,
of urgency
yeah,
that we all have
yeah,
at that
like,
age.
Yeah, that like urgency and that like, live fast, die young, like you only live once kind of mentality that these kids carry throughout the show. But then there's these beautiful moments where they'll stop and like look up and say, hear my voice. You know, they talk to God in their own way. And it's really interesting. And it's such an honest struggle that we have to portray on the stage about these kids and their rise and fall. And it's great. It's a really good show.
No, it's a little different from when I was in Catholic school.
Probably.
Is that really?
Yes.
You went to Catholic school?
All my life.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm one of the few Italian Protestants. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
My father converted to Protestantism.
Really?
From my mother, yeah. So I'm an Italian Protestant, which is really difficult because then we would go to all these family functions with half the rest of the family being Catholic, and we didn't know when to stand up. We didn't know when to kneel down. We didn't know what the prayers were or anything. Awkward. It's unpleasant for me. Thanks for bringing up such a painful memory, Michael. I appreciate it.
My memory of high school and being in Catholic high school was simply, you know, the fear that they instilled upon you as the teachers.
Well,
the
and
nuns
it touches on
and
that.
Yeah.
And it touches on that. It touches on how there's only two.
And knuckles. Getting your knuckles.
Well, there's only. It's not that intense, but there's only two school officials that are in the show. There's only two characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's Sister Chantel, and then there's the priest. And
is it set in current
time?
It's
current time,
okay.
Yeah. It's current day. If you read the script, you open it up and it says time today.
Today. Okay.
Yeah. And there, you know, it kind of shows how these two officials really love their kids. Like they love the students so much. They are very much like, you know, it's a small school. And it shows how they even struggle to kind of be like, it's okay to be who you are. Like, God is love all the time, and it's okay, but we can't actually go forth and be like, this is all right, you know,
right.
So it's the struggle of that.
But also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how cool is that, too, to have those representational figures in a Catholic school be good people because of how much we're sort of assaulted with in the press about the, you know, it's sort of like anything else, the little insect damages so much grain, but that's not the case, you know. Everywhere.
Well, you know, and quite frankly, it must be a very, in the real world on which this is based, to go to school, whether it's Catholic or not, it's a very different time, and there are very different challenges for young people because we're exposed to so much more that we never had back in the day, right?
Before.
And not only what we're exposed to, but the ability to disseminate gossip and with the web and all that and just how you can really bullying on a grand scale or not even so much bullying but just like awareness of other people. Yeah, so one of the great things, one of the unusual things about what television did to this country, like until 1954, a kid who went to high school in California didn't know what a kid who went to high school in New York dressed like or how they wore their hair.
Right.
And that was this great homogenizer of television, also gave kids a standard, whether good or bad, to sort of adhere to. Which was, anyway, I want to play a track from this. I have three here. I have Bear, I have and Grown Up, and One.
Grown Up is yours. Lindsay's.
All grown up. I sing in Joan and I sing.
I'm sorry.
In
I'm going off file
titles.
Names here.
And then
so
what
it's
was the
All
one,
Grown Up
And
Bear, which Jonah sings.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so we'll play Bear later on, Jonah, when we've talked to you. But for now, this is, you said All Grown Up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is from the pop musical rock opera, whatever we're calling it, but it sounds great regardless, All Grown Up. Little taste.
Girlfriend's Got Pipes.
Yeah.
Huh? I've actually never heard that before.
Oh, you never have?
No, we just recorded that like 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
So I was like, wait, it's not me singing. That's going to be Jenna Lee Green, right? And then he was like, no, it's you.
Oh,
like,
no, it's very, and you know, we just got these files and it's really stunning, really beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Really,
yes.
Yeah, it's very, very
haunting.
I didn't
know Jenna was in the show.
Jenna Lee Green played the original Ivy.
She's lovely.
She's on the original cast recording. But our musical director, Elmo Zapp, has done some new orchestrations and arrangements. Mm-hmm. And we're putting out our own EP with 5 tracks that's done totally in our style of Bear.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cool. And so you heard one of them, Jenna Lee Green being one of the original cast members. Who's the other one? You said there's two.
Oh, well, she's not in our current
cast. She's not in our current cast.
The two who are in our current cast are actually the two authority figures in the church, the priest and Sister Chantel.
Who are they? Okay.
Sister Chantel is Stephanie Anderson, who was the original Sister Chantel reprising that role.
Nice.
And
she sounds just the same. Exactly the same.
She sounds fantastic. And the priest is John Griffin, who played Jason in the original, and is now coming full circle to play the priest with whom Jason interacts, which is a very powerful connection and moment for he and I on stage together.
Oh, yeah, I love that scene.
We should tell people how to get tickets to this.
Well,
this opens on September 6th. This is at the Hayworth Theater. And for tickets, the easiest thing is probably the web. I always push people toward that. And I know ticket buyers always find it easier. You can just do it. You print out the receipt. You're all set. Plays411.net/bear is one of the options. So for tickets, plays411.net/bear. And they also are on Libro di Faccia, as I call it. The Facebook. That's facebook.com/bearlosangeles. Do
correct.
I have that right?
And
I can't
read
B-A-R-E.
My own writing. Yeah. B-A-R-E.
Because
we get a lot of people who, when I say I'm in bear, they're like, oh, like the animal.
Yeah, I know. B-A-R? No.
Yes. That's the, there's a children's matinee.
Exactly.
Where everyone is a bear.
Where we just dress up as bear.
Exactly.
So we should let everyone know that's what the show is.
The Bear Los Angeles Jamboree is what we're calling it, yes.
Now, that would bring West
time in the woods with bears. Yeah, you'd think.
A walk in the woods with a different kind of bear. It's, once again, we'll throw this out there a couple of times before the end of our show. Plays411.net/bear and on facebook.com/bearlosangeles.
And the Hayworth Theater, is in the Wilshire District there on Wilshire Boulevard. It's a very cool space, actually. I kind of like. I saw it. It's where Silence of the Lambs, the musical.
Oh, the musical for Silence of the Lambs. Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Is that what it's called?
No. It's called Silence.
Silence.
Yes. I knew it was a one-word thing.
I've heard it's amazing.
Oh,
it was hyphenated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was. Before we talk to Jonah, obviously Jonah, and we'll chat with Lindsay some more. But we should do our arts calendar, Michael, and pay the bills.
Yeah.
Would you mind taking the rein on
that
today?
I will, ladies and gentlemen.
I took out all the hyphens.
You did.
Thank goodness for me.
Yes. Thank goodness. The New York hit comedy is now set to be. The New York hit comedy is now set to be the Los Angeles hit Redo. Am I correct?
I think it's Redo. Yeah.
From the company.
Redux.
I was going to say. You never know. From the company that launched the world premiere and 8 glorious months of Sideways, the play, now at the La Jolla Playhouse, and Paradise, a divine bluegrass musical comedy. El Grande de Coca-Cola is an extravaganza of timeless humor in 5 languages you never know you could speak. Set in the nightclub of a small backwater town somewhere south of the border, Pepe Hernandez, senior show business. Oh, senor. Excuse me.
Yes.
Senor show business.
There's
so many languages going on in this show today.
I'm sorry. Yes, I know. And I gave it all to you. Yes.
Senor show business has boasted in the local press that he is bringing a group of famous international cabaret stars to the town. He has persuaded his uncle, manager of the local Coca-Cola bottling plant, to advance him enough money to rent the club for 3 nights. It is a show time. It is show time for Pepe's ambitious extravaganza, Parada de la Estrella. Estrellas.
Parade of the Stars.
Thank you for interpreting that.
Sure.
El Grande de Coca-Cola plays through September 28th at the Ruskin Group Theater in Santa Monica.
Have you ever seen the show?
I have
El
not.
Grande, are either of you familiar with El Grande de Coca-Cola? Have
no,
either
I've
of
you never
seen
the
I show? Think I've drank it before.
No. It's a very, very funny show. It's a very, and it's, they,
Where is it, did you say?
This is at the Ruskin Theater in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Very, very funny, and...
How do people get tickets for that, do you know?
I don't know, but I found it on the Ovations, the LA Stage Alliance.
You go to so. LAStageAlliance.com.
That's all I got.
LAStageAlliance.com.
Yeah.
Nailed
Look
it.
For tickets there.
Okay.
PerformingArtsLive.com.
PerformingArtsLive.com. Sure it's there. Our next guest has played the Roxy, Whiskey A Go-Go, Troubadour, and Carnegie Hall as a vocalist and guitarist. Most recently, he appeared in Glory Struck's production of Spring Awakening at the Hayworth Theater, same venue we were talking about. He's the founder and director of One Night Stand, an improvised musical, which has performed over 80 improvised musicals at LA's Hudson Theater, great space, DSCI Comedy Festival, New York Musical Theater Festival, and was a two-time total sellout at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Please welcome Jonah Platt.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to have two attractive, intelligent, articulate actors in the studio.
Yes, to totally offset us.
Yes.
Yeah, just
like
sort of
all
balance.
Over the map
we balance right in the middle.
You should see us in rehearsal, though. It's a completely different thing.
We've got our game faces on today.
This is being professional.
So how are us? You're in the throes of the final rehearsals now. You got to be in tech.
We are closing in.
And how's that going?
It's going great. It's been kind of a long rehearsal process. We started pretty early. I think we're by the time we open, it'll be about 9 weeks of rehearsal, which is a ton. But
which can be a luxury, but could also be like, we need an audience now.
Right. Yeah. So we've tried to space it out a little bit. There have been little breaks during the week so we don't get, you know, sick of the show or lose our mojo, but it's starting to all really come together as we drive towards the finish, and everybody's as really excited, and it's coming together quite nicely.
Now, this was a huge hit. Was 13 years ago in 2000 when it played
here
at the
in
Hudson.
Los Angeles. Yeah,
played
right,
at
and
the,
also
yeah.
from New York.
Right, and this is sort of, I don't want to say it's a. You mentioned something about doing the tracks for your own EP was like a new take on it. How would you describe that this version strays or varies from the first one?
Sure. So recently in New York, they actually did a very revamped, different version of the show, which we have not used. We've gone back to that original. So it's very similar to the original that was first done in LA. Just musically, we're trying to highlight a more modern sound and the amazing ability of our cast. So some of the orchestrations and arrangements are a little harder rock, a little more modern. Some of the harmonies are a little fuller, more lush, a little bit more dissonant, just bringing a much fuller, meatier sound.
Okay. Now, I noticed through looking through your bio and the different places you've performed, are you a vocalist and a musician, or what brought you to all of those venues?
Most of those was as a singer and guitarist with a band.
Oh, okay.
Which I used to do a lot more of. I'm trying to get back into now, but there's only so many hours in the day.
Well, yeah, you have a lot of plates spinning.
Yeah, a lot of plates spinning.
And how does this compare for you in terms of what you enjoy? I mean, it's a completely different animal, of course, but...
This is sort of a nice hybrid because, you know, the music, we joke call it a pop, rock, opera, musical... what it really is it's sung through pretty much, which gives it sort of the opera feel. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of spoken dialogue here and there, but it's mostly sung through. But the songs are what you might call pop rock in that they drive. Our band is electric guitars, a bass, a drum, keys, and a cello. And so the show allows us to sing, you know, with a rock style and some of the harder songs. Like you heard Lindsay's All Grown Up. That was a pretty driving, heavy song. And then there's also really beautiful, lush vocal harmonies, a little bit more legit, quote-unquote, theater style. So this allows me to, you know, I get to act, I get to sing pop, I get to sing rock, I get to show a lot of different colors, which is very rewarding and lets me do a lot of fun things at once.
Well, I'm sure it's rewarding, but it's also very interesting for an audience to not be locked into one particular style through the whole thing.
Absolutely. You know?
And this is a thing that, Michael, because you're more of a musical. I mean, I love musicals, but you know far more about them than I do. And this actually sounds more up my alley than a traditional musical, because I still, no matter how
you like
how
rock
you
and roll, though, too.
I love rock music. Yeah. I love rock musicals. As a matter of fact, I think one of the greatest rock musicals of the last 20 years is Hedwig and the Angry Inch,
oh,
which
yeah.
is an astonishing musical. But with rock opera. But I can still never get over the fact that someone is in the middle of slicing a loaf of bread and they have a long conversation and then they break into song. So that is, you really have to suspend your disbelief when it comes to the musical. Is that me squeaking?
I think
that was
me.
Mr.
Black. I'm a little antsy.
No.
Animated.
My back is completely titanium. So something. I thought it could be that. The great thing about the rock musical versus the musical, I would think, as a performer, is that you have that fluidity of action that it just, that once that train starts going, you know that your Lindsay
Absolutely.
Is nodding to that
we
as
don't
well.
We don't even really have set changes. It just kind of, it all moves
fluid,
in and out of each
constant,
other. Yeah, there's never really any like full blackout set change lights up. It's like lights go down here and the set's changing over here and then yeah
because you're nice. Always like you're always starting from zero when you do that. You're always
starting,
you know, all momentum is lost when you stop. Mm-hmm. You know, you have, no matter how you slice it, you have to unplug the appliances.
And you know, Calvin Remsburg is directing this, and he's one of the more revered directors in Los Angeles, I might add, and does a wonderful job at these things. He's also one of our great vocal coaches and a former star of musical theater himself, playing Beatle in the tour of Sweeney Todd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the national tour.
You can see
it.
Him on the actual video recording with Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Oh, the
yeah.
Angela Lansbury, Len Carreon one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
he's got some
yeah.
stories.
Yes,
yeah.
he does.
He's great.
And he's a lovely man on top of it. And how many pieces are in the band? Because it's got to be a band, right?
We've got lead guitar, we've got rhythm guitar, we've got bass, we've got keys, we've got drum, and we've got a cello.
So that's an
no
experience
spoons.
Right there.
No spoons this time.
No.
We didn't have them in the budget. No spoon budget.
So spoon players would kill you.
Yeah. They're expensive.
Yeah. They charge double, don't they?
Yeah, usually.
But the space, if I recall, it's not a big venue. It's
no,
about
no, no,
99
it's
seat.
A 99 seat.
199.
199?
199.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, we got some room. And the stage,
the stage
is pretty deep and pretty wide for that space. So, and our band is actually right on stage with us, which sort of adds to that rock
cool.
kind of a feel. They're,
yeah.
they're right there. And we just play in front and around them.
Oh, that's
fun.
Right up my alley. I would go see that.
It's really
I will go see it.
That would be great.
And here's how
I feel like you don't have a choice at this point.
And here's how you, dear listener, can go see it. It's tickets are at plays411.net/bear. plays411.net/bear. Once again, that's the B-A-R. I'm so used to saying the theater with the R-E spelling.
Right,
you know,
right.
But this is the B-A-R-E spelling. Otherwise, who knows where that will take you. plays411.net/bear. And also on Facebook.com, Bear Los Angeles. So facebook.com/BearLosAngeles.
There's a lot of fun multimedia stuff on the Facebook page. A lot of photos.
Oh,
wow.
Let's talk about those photos. Those photos were making headlines here on the internet.
Yeah.
What? A few of you, sir, that were making headlines.
Here. Yes. Yeah. Some provocative stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Now, everyone is leaving our show right now and going to their Facebook page. If they're listening to us on the internet.
Can they listen to it
of course
at the same
they
time?
Can.
They,
of course
tab
they can.
Browsing. They're just
tab browsing.
Yes.
God bless
New window. New window.
Yeah.
We should do some listening. Do you want to listen to another track?
Yes,
from Bear
we'll
Hero?
Hear Jonah do a little something.
Jonah,
for
your
us.
Is your track called just called Bear? Is
Not,
it that?
That's yeah,
it?
Let's
okay.
do that
sing
one.
This with Pace and Lewis.
And is this the first time that you're hearing this as well?
I actually heard a little bit of it this morning.
Okay, all right. So this is from the musical Bear, opening September 6th at the Hayworth Theater, and this is Jonah Platt singing Bear.
Stay in this moment where secrets reveal. In a world where there's safety and falsehood, I have discovered the one thing that's real.
I'm sorry, that's all we have of it.
I know.
That sounds
just
so
a
good.
Short little teaser.
It's a little appetizer. Little appetizer. Make you buy your theater seats.
And that was awesome. That was another world debut of that song. That track has not yet officially been released.
Well, and you heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Is that is that new for this production?
That's brand new. So you know, we did 5 new tracks just from this cast, this band, this production. 2 have already been released. The songs Are You There and A Quiet Night at Home, which feature the 3 other principals who are not here.
These are songs that are in the show. We did not make these songs. We didn't write them.
Oh, good. Okay.
These are our recordings.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the 3 that have yet to be released are Lindsay Solo, All Grown Up, this duet that you just heard, some have called Bear, from the end of the show with me and Payson Lewis, and then the big Act 1 finale called One, which features all 5 principals singing all together. Which I think we have a little bit.
I think we do have that. I think we'll have that play us off the air. It'll be a nice little button for the end of it. Would you, I don't mean to put you both on the spot here, but we should call out some of your fellow performers, which I have on the...
We love them.
I'm not sure I have it in this promotional material. This article pulled off Playbill does not list the cast specifically.
It doesn't.
Can you help us along the line?
Yeah, I think I remember some of their names.
We have Katie Stevens, who plays Nadia.
She plays my twin sister, Nadia.
Okay.
She look like you?
No. She's beautiful in Portuguese, and he's not.
So fraternal.
Beautiful, not Portuguese.
But we do have very complementary personalities.
Yes.
So you would believe that we were brother and sister.
They get along like brother and sister.
We get along quite well. And then, as I mentioned, Payson Lewis plays Peter, who is the other member of the... relationship that's at the center of the
love triangle.
Okay. Now, isn't he from The Voice?
He was on The Sing-Off.
The Sing-Off. Okay.
And appears a lot at the For the
Record
shows.
Because you have a lot
of
talent from television singing.
Katie, who we mentioned, was on American Idol.
Okay.
And is doing an MTV pilot right now.
Awesome.
And then our last principal is Nathan Parrott, who was on The Voice.
Okay.
Who plays Matt, who is sort of the other love triangle with me, Lindsay, and himself.
But also sort of Nadia, because Nadia's also in love with
Matt. Yeah.
Incredible.
Everybody just loves each other.
Crossing.
There's a lot of wires crossing.
What an amazing collection of singers, though. You have.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
That's our producers, when they set out to put this together, it was like, where we want to get the best singers that we can find. Because, as I mentioned, the show is completely dependent on the singing and the music. It's all sung through. So to start from that place and have these voices coming together just brings the show to another level.
Well, and what's special about that is that, you have to be able to sing this show, but this show takes you on such an emotional journey that you have to act it too. And I can't speak for myself, but we got really lucky at the fact that these people are such good singers, but great actors on top of it.
Yeah.
Like every we'll do rehearsals where we'll be rehearsing for 4 days doing the same show over and over and over. And every time we get so emotional by the end of the run, it's like, you know, you have to go home and sleep it off.
Well, which really says something, because with singing, doing musicals and so much of the technical stuff that you have going in your head while you're performing, you can really lock into a routine. And
rather than being present.
Right. So it sounds like you guys really have it nailed.
Yeah.
What is the running time of the show?
It's about 2 hours with an intermission. With an intermission, maybe 2 hours and change. You're not going to be there too long.
Right. No,
it's a nice evening.
Yeah. Michael, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, I know that Jonah, one of his inspirations in musical theater as a writer is Stephen Sondheim.
Mm. Sure.
So, and he says in his bio here that if he wasn't pursuing that career, he would, being a performer in theater, he'd certainly be pursuing writing. But you do that as well, don't you?
I do that as well. I have a composing partner named Andrew Resnick, who's a very talented pianist. He's actually playing in Jason Robert Brown's new show, Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah.
And he and I are working right now on a cycle of new musical theater songs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And they're pretty
good. I'm curious about that term, a cycle of new musical theater songs.
So, not a song cycle. There's no story, but it's a bunch of songs sort of on a similar theme.
Interesting. I never heard that term before.
Yeah, it's...
like elegies or...
Right. Did you
songs for a new world, something like that.
Yeah,
right.
And
it's just a way for us to... a lot of output.
Okay, so
but
not
they don't,
with the
but
goal.
They don't attach to a script or a story.
Okay, so not with the goal of eventually assembling them, just sort of a theme, much like a themed album would be.
Exactly,
like
and we, they'd be performed all together and released all together on an album, but there's no narrative.
Right, right.
It's just a showcase for the songwriting.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's very interesting. So, and you're also no stranger to television, are you?
Yeah, that's right. I've worked on a couple of writing staffs on a couple TV shows. Right. Most recently, I was on Family Guy for a couple mm-hmm. seasons, which was a blast. They're I big musical theater fans over there. Yeah. Lots of musical theater stuff. And I sort of became a little bit of the musical theater guy there. So they would call me in from the other room and be like, oh, we're doing a joke here. We need a patter song to do for Peter to sing.
And you'd write it?
There was one joke where he needed to do a song really fast that he was terrible at. So I pitched something on America. He's like, Hannah Montana, America. Wanna banana, America. And then I'm
finally on the air. That's pretty funny. Brilliant.
It's a funny show.
Yeah, they're great. They know what they're doing.
And then you did the finale of The Office.
I was on as an actor. On that one, which was a lot of fun, getting to make fun of Ed Helms on TV.
Yes, I'm sure.
Go toe-to-toe with Krasinski. It was a lot of fun.
I would have...
And you know, you're a fan of that one?
Jonah comes from a very talented family. He's got a brother who's a wonderful, wonderful performer.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Currently in Book of Mormon.
Yeah, that's right. He's in Chicago doing Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
He was in Pitch Perfect.
That's right.
And he'll be in New York doing Book of Mormon in early 2014.
Making his Broadway debut.
He was up for a Teen Choice nomination, too, wasn't he?
He was, for Scene Stealer.
For what?
For Pitch Perfect.
For Pitch Perfect. Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah, not too shabby.
I just saw something here that I'm sorry.
Yes.
Away from my
find yourself. Find yourself. Collect yourself.
What would you say? Sondheim has that. But of the Sondheim work, what would you say is the one that stands out for you?
The one that, when I see it, sort of hits me in the gut the most is Sunday in the Park with George, which you know can also be, especially in the second act, a bit hard to sink your teeth into, but the music in there when it's good is so moving and so lush and gorgeous, especially, you know, Children in Art or Move On, Finishing the Hat, songs like that are just
putting it together.
You know, I love finishing
it doesn't get much better than that.
I saw that. I'm old enough to have seen it with Mandy Patinkin.
In New York.
I saw the DVD. Yeah.
I saw it. No, it says the only good thing about being slightly older is that I think we talked about this, Michael. I had a high school theater teacher, Joan Voss, who, and I grew up in Connecticut, about 60 miles from Manhattan. And she made it her mission to get us to see as many things as possible. So mm-hmm. I got to see that. I got to see the original cast of Evita, also with Mandy Patinkin. I got to see Amadeus, the first Amadeus, with Tim Curry as Mozart, Jane Seymour as Constance, and F. Murray Abraham as Salieri. I got to see the original production of Chess, which is one of the great...
I love
underappreciated musicals
musical.
With Murray Head, One Night in Bangkok, and everything. And it just, you know, it's one of those things, especially with Sunday in the Park with George, when you're sitting there and watching it and living it, and you know, like, I'm living a treasured memory right now. You know,
do you want to hear a travesty? Seen a Broadway show.
What? Never seen a Broadway show.
Every time I've been to New York, I've never gone to Broadway and seen a show. I've only seen them when they come to San Francisco.
Holy cow.
They travel to San Francisco.
You gotta go. And do the whole
TKTS. You're seeing them in a cosmopolitan city.
The last time I went, I almost went and saw Death of a Salesman, and I almost saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, but I wasn't able to actually go. I was working.
So the recent Death of a Salesman with Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because my friend Ted did the remake before that with Brian Dennehy, Ted Coach.
I heard it was fantastic.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
I mean, it was Tony all over the place.
One last thing about Sunday in the Park with George. When I saw it in New York, when that curtain went up and the reveal of
the painting
coming to life, I actually didn't know what to say. I couldn't get
anything
out of
it. It makes you, like, it chokes you.
Yeah.
It did. And then, of course...
It's interesting... Everybody laughs at me, but I have a similar reaction every time I've seen The Lion King, and the first song, like, starts, and the freaking elephant comes down in the aisle. I literally cry. And there's no reason to, but I'm just like, this is the magic of what we do.
It's where it hits you. My friend Lena did War Horse.
Yeah.
On the Lincoln Center production of War Horse, and I tell you, when that horse comes out jumping over the thing,
it catches
it's just
your
like,
breath.
Oh yeah,
it, like it
stunning.
Takes your breath away.
We're talking about a lot of shows, but the primary show that we're talking about is the one that these two lovely people are in, and that's called Bear. And to get tickets for that, it's plays411.net/bear, facebook.com/bearlosangeles. It's that time, Michael.
I just want to say to that, get your tickets because the show is selling like wildfire. We hear it. You're opening with a great pre-sale. So
before we,
what is the end date?
We're going to run till the 22nd of September.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four shows a weekend.
Before we do our little lighthearted thing at the end of the show, where we sort of wrap everything
up
about mishaps and things that happen on stage. I want to note, if you would, Jonah, share with us a little bit of information about who the show is dedicated to.
Yeah, so we're dedicating our run of our show to Damon Intrabartolo, the composer who very tragically passed away about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It really hit our cast hard. As we mentioned, we have two members of the original cast who knew Damon intimately. We've had visits from the original director and lyricist who've come by the set and some of the other players. And it's really sad. The main message of our show is Hear My Voice. And now this show is Damon's voice and his legacy. And it just adds a whole nother layer of poignancy and emotion for all of us involved to carry that legacy on and allow people to hear his voice through our own. And it's, you know, a privilege to be able to dedicate the run to his honor. And we hope we do him justice.
Well, it sounds like what a lovely, lovely
a
gesture.
A lovely gesture and even more reason to go see something. It has a special significance.
And I'm sure with what you described and from what we've heard, we already know that you're truly honoring him. And that's a lovely thing that you're doing.
All right.
So before we sign off, we are going to do what we normally do at the end of our hour, which is ask the two of you to share.
We kind of baptize.
And they're
all
furiously
of our
pointing at each other.
But everyone, the dogfight.
Everyone has a mishap. Everyone has something. Not everyone has.
Well, I remember Jonah a little something he told me, and he did a production of Oklahoma. I think he had something happen in Oklahoma.
Yes, it was something about being a little distracted backstage.
Wait, who did you play in Oklahoma? Yeah? Who did you play?
I played Curly.
You did? I was Lori when I was in Oklahoma. Great
look at that. And for the Dream Ballet, we would swap out, because I'm no ballet dancer, and the Lori and the Curly, who were the actual parts, would come out on stage, and then Dream Lori and Curly would come out on stage, and they'd sort of rotate around each other as if, you know, one was becoming the other, and then the Dream Ballet, Lori and Curly, would do the ballet. And it was time for that one little entrance that I had to make. And I was backstage smooching with my girlfriend at the time, and I heard the music cue. My stomach dropped. I turned and I sprinted. And as Dream Curly was beginning the rotation of his body, I like slid right in, rotated with him, and slid out like a revolving door. So I made it by the skin of my teeth.
You know, it's so nice to hear that you're such a dedicated performer that backstage you are remotely distracted or
Casanova.
I feel like with someone like Jonah, that's constantly the case.
Hey,
I feel like there's always a smooch story about Jonah.
A little smooch never hurt anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I love this.
Lindsay, do you have a smooch story?
Mine is not nearly as good though. Mine is so devastating and awful, and I don't want to end it on that note.
Oh, maybe no, please do.
So I was 15, and I was in Pride and Prejudice, and before the show, we were in makeup, but we didn't get in costumes yet, because we all wanted to eat. And so we were all messing around in the house, and start playing, like, this tag game, and there's, like, three women, there's, like, five women in the show, but there is actually almost more men in Pride and Prejudice than there are women. And so there's three of the lead boys playing tag with me, and I jump on the back of my little boyfriend at the time, and he starts running, but the house is a little, like, elevated, like, there's a slight incline, and so he's running around the seats, and poor boy just kind of goes top heavy because I'm on his back, and he flies forward, and then I fly off of him head first into a seat and unhinge it from its screws, from its cement. And this is a tiny little theater in Daenerys, California, and I unhinge this chair And it starts to like literally fall apart because I just like rhino slam it with my face.
Oh my
and
gosh,
I, yes.
Lord.
And I fall back and I'm seeing stars. And Michael, the boy's name, he comes up and he's like, oh my God, oh my God. And he's holding on to me and he's like, please tell me you're alive. Please tell me you're alive. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I kind of go like, and blood sprays into his face. Oh, guys, this is awful.
Oh.
And he's like, and I was like, oh no, he knocked my teeth out. That's all I could think of. And my whole face was numb. And I realized like I couldn't feel my arm. And this is 30 minutes before house opens.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I run back and I'm in tears and I'm like sobbing and all my makeup's running. It's a hot mess. And I look in and I'm like looking at my teeth and I'm fine. And then right next to the theater, this is such like a Cowtown thing, but right next to the theater was a fire like station, fireman station.
Paramedics.
Yeah. And they turn on because you have to freeze during a show if they turn on that siren.
Right.
But so the siren turns on because they've been called to like drive their car literally to the other parking lot and come pick me up. And these guys go, well, you know, they've like sort of like makeshift set my arm because they're afraid I broke it. I was fine. But and I was like, well, I need to like, can you just set it so I can put it under my costume so I can go on? I'm mopping the blood off my face. And they're like, oh, no, you have to go to the hospital. And I crossed my arms and I went, you're going to have to drag me out. At 15, I tell these big men that they have to drag me out. And they went, okay, all four of them like fire hoisted me up in the air and dragged me into the ambulance. And I went to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And my director had to go on for me and read the lines
from
a book,
gosh.
From a prop book, read the lines.
But your teeth were okay, which
my
is the most important
great.
Thing.
Yeah.
Nice
we have
teeth
to,
they are.
We do. We have to go because we're out of time. But I also want to play this little one.
And before
one
you do, one more time, ladies and gentlemen, at the Hayworth Theater, Bear. Don't miss it. It opens September 6th. It plays through the end of September, September 22nd.
That's correct.
All right. Tickets
Come
are
see.
At
plays411.net/bear. What a pleasure having both of you on.
Thank
this
you for
is great.
Having
and
us.
This is called One.
Yes.
And this is from Bear. And we're going to have this play us off the air.
Awesome.
One forever, can you feel it? I'm so happy, does it show? Baby, you are all I need. Hold me, don't let go.
One tomorrow, make me promise. God, you have such pretty eyes. Baby, you are all I need. I have butterflies. One connection, one you promise. One relation, one today. Here inside you, I am certain. You can help me find my way.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.